for the reading of the gospel. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was a light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him, everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light that was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. But the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. For those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children. Born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one of whom I said, he who comes after me is greater than me because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son who is at the Father's side, has made God known. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ."
Our gospel reading this morning was from the Gospel of John. However, my sermon is going to be from the New Testament reading today, which is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And it says this. Well, we have the words on the screen for this, right? All right. We do have the words on the screen for this. I noticed that in this passage that it used the male pronoun for God a lot. And I decided that I didn't like how often I had to use the male pronoun, so I made a few edits in my own translation that I'm going to read here. So if my words don't match exactly what's on the screen, that is why. Are you guys okay? All right. No one was harmed in the stepping off of this platform. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us to be God's adopted children through Jesus Christ because of God's love. This was according to God's good will and plan, and to honor the glorious grace that God has given to us freely through the Son whom God loves. We have been ransomed through the Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on God's overflowing grace, which God poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed the hidden design to us, which is according to God's good will and the plan that God intended to accomplish through the Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ. The things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God who accomplishes everything according to God's design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. This is the story of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We don't know for certain who wrote the letter to the Ephesians, but we can pretty safely assume that it was probably Paul. I think something that the church often forgets is that a lot of Paul's letters were not actually handwritten. Instead, Paul would dictate them to a scribe, and the scribe would write down what Paul was saying. I think that Paul was a passionate guy, and when he started talking about something that excited him, he got really animated. And sometimes when he would get animated, he would ramble. The reason that I think that that's important is because remembering that is a really helpful first step in unpacking passages like this one. Because there's a lot to unpack in this passage. This passage is very dense. I read it kind of straightforward and like almost like serious, but really like I'm picturing Paul kind of starting off like, bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, get a pen. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us! And he just keeps going and going and going, and I don't know how Paul didn't pass out before getting through all of this. There's a lot to unpack in this passage. This passage is very dense. In just a few paragraphs, Paul talks about some of the topics that have caused the most angst in the church. Paul talks about spiritual blessings. He talks about God choosing us to be holy and blameless, and he talks about God giving us a destiny. There are a lot of things in this passage that scholars have debated about for years. Different branches of theological thought have broken off from one another because of some of the words that Paul uses here. Our translation that we read this morning specifically says God destined us. Other translations use the word predestination. That word, if you walk into a theological classroom anywhere and you drop that word, it's about to get real. Get your camera out, get ready to film some TikTok videos. It's going to get real. There might be punches thrown. I don't know. I've never thrown a punch. You laugh like you don't believe me. In short, this passage has caused a lot of drama in the church. These words leave us with a lot of questions to be answered. What does any of this mean? What is a spiritual blessing? Are we really holy? Are we really blameless? And how do we know that we are? But the biggest question that we're left with is, what does it mean that God destined us? Are we really the people God has destined? And what does God destine us for? A lot of the debate that sparked over this passage has come from our misunderstanding of what Paul means when he writes, God destined us. And the debate over these words has led to two extremes. The first is the belief that God destined some people to be good and God destined others to be bad. God destined some people to be insiders and God destined others to be outsiders. God destined some people to be us and others to be them. This belief is one of the ways that the church has tried to explain what a lot of theologians call the problem of evil, or the question, like, why do bad things happen to good people? Why are there bad things in this world? So on and so forth. And it's a highly flawed system of belief. It doesn't line up with God's character, it doesn't line up with God's mission, and it makes God's involvement in creation kind of pointless. Because it takes away the hope of redemption. Because if God has destined some people to be insiders with us and others to be outsiders with them, then that must mean that there are some people who are beyond God's scope of redemption. Simply put, the belief that God creates some people to be good and others to be bad is an abuse of this passage. And this debate has led to another extreme too, and this extreme is the belief that God chooses favorites, and then God showers those favorites with blessings and good things. And what kind of scares me is that this is the more popular belief between the two. And it's led to sort of manifest itself in a sort of superiority complex. This belief is expressed in phrases like, well, I am in this world, but not of it. It's been expressed in theories of escapism, theories like the rapture, or the belief that God's going to save some people but utterly destroy others. More recently, it's been expressed through Christians insulting people with terms like sheep and heathens. Sheep is a really ironic insult for a Christian to use. And insults are a really ironic thing for Christians to use. And yet the superiority complex encourages these things. This superiority complex has led to a gross misunderstanding of these words. And because it's led to such a gross misunderstanding of the words God destined us, it means that it leads to a gross misunderstanding of the way that we understand and interpret the rest of this passage as well. We misunderstand spiritual blessings to be material blessings. So we wind up with things like the prosperity gospel, this belief that the better Christian I am, then the more money and security and possessions God's going to give me as a reward. We misunderstand the idea that God has made us holy and blameless to mean that we are incapable of error no matter what we do. It is always somebody else's fault. And therefore, we're superior to others. The belief that God plays favorites is deeply flawed. It's out of line with the character and the mission of God. And it's out of line with the character and the nature of God's people. So then what does it mean to say that God destined us? And what is it that we're destined for? It's not that God has chosen some of us for good and others for evil. It's not that we are God's favorites and God likes other people less. In fact, it has nothing to do with us. That God destined us has nothing to do with us and everything to do with God and God's plan. Now, when I say this, I don't mean that God's plan doesn't have anything to do with us. I don't mean that God's plan doesn't involve us. God's plan is to bring creation to fulfillment in new creation. It's a plan that involves us, it involves our participation, and it's a plan that's for us because we are a part of creation. But the fact that God destines us has nothing to do with us. It's not something that we have earned. God doesn't destine us because of who we are. God destines us because of who God is. It is God who destines us, not because we have earned it, not because we deserve it, not because God favors us, but because God so deeply loves creation Because God's desire is to see all of creation reflect God's intent and God's purpose. And this desire is so deep that God wants us to be a part of bringing it to life. God cannot imagine new creation without us. Paul is absolutely right. God destined us. God destined us to be co-creators by living into new creation here and now. God destined us to announce the good news that a new king has come and a new kingdom is at hand. And God invites us to announce this not just through our words, but through our actions, through living as if we actually believe that it's true. God creates us out of love, and God destines us for the same purpose, to be loved and to love. We are destined to be loved by God, and we are destined to love all of God's creation. God destined all of us, Jews and Gentiles, Christians and non-Christians, those who believe and those who don't, to be loved and to love. Throughout our history, the church has long read this passage and used it as a means of erecting barriers between us and them. But these barriers are not God's intent. God is not the one that creates outsiders and insiders. We are. The words are not God destined us, but not them. The words are God destined us. And when we understand this, the rest of this passage doesn't seem to be so dense after all. God destined us to love and to be loved, and God gives us spiritual blessings. And these blessings include God's grace and forgiveness and God's redemption and God's adoption of us, God's calling us children. God's blessings being lavished on us ought to humble us, not fill us with pride. We're not superior to others because we've been blessed with these things. We're invited to share these blessings with others. The evidence that we have known grace and forgiveness is by showing grace and forgiveness to others. God destined us to love and to be loved. And God chose us to be holy and blameless. This doesn't mean that we're superior to others. It doesn't mean that we're incapable of error. The call to holiness is the call to perfect love for God and for others. The call to blamelessness is the call not only to resist evil, but to instead foster what is good. And we foster what is good in its most pure form, which is love. God destined us to be loved and to love. And that's good news. The idea that God destines us has caused a lot of debate and anxiety in the church throughout our history. It causes us anxiety because we worry things like, well, what if I'm not really one of the people that God has destined? Or what if I don't want to be destined? God can't tell me what to do. I want to do my own thing. But this destiny is good. The fact that God destines us, all of us, not just some people and not others, all of us, it's good because it means that God's mind is made up about us. And the news is good. God's mind is made up about you, and the news is good. It's not something that you can earn. It's not something you can lose. You, as you are exactly enough. God's mind is made up about you exactly as you are. and you cannot change God's mind. God destined you to love and to be loved. God destined you not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, not because of anything you have or have not done, but simply because God so deeply loves creation and God so deeply loves you. God's mind is made up about us, and the news is good. I wish I could take credit for that phrase, but I'm not the first person to say it. I'm not the first pastor or theologian to say it. And this view has received some criticism in light of this passage because there are some people who believe, well, if God's mind is made up about me, then I don't really have to do anything. So why should I change anything? But I think such criticism ignores the good news. And the good news that God has destined us and that God's mind is made up about us is too good to ignore. Instead, we need to respond to it. And responding to good news means that we don't just hear it, but we allow it to rule our lives. We allow the good news to change us. The good news is that God loves all of creation, including us. And we know this because we've seen that love embodied in a baby in a manger. We've seen that love embodied on the cross. We've seen it embodied in an empty tomb. On a consistent basis, I see that love embodied in the people who make up this church. And God wants us to be a part of bringing creation to new creation. Paul says that in Christ, all things are brought together in heaven and on earth. This is new creation. And we already have a foretaste of this because of the Holy Spirit, but we also anticipate the fullness of new creation that is yet to come. And we anticipate that by living into God's desires here and now. By living as if we have seen God's grace and forgiveness and redemption. By living as if we truly believe that we are God's children. And by living as if we believe that every single person we encounter shares these things as well, shares that same identity. God created us and God destined us to be loved and to love. And we're already deeply loved, and our response to that love is to show it to all of creation in return. God's mind is made up about us. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to respond. The question is, will we respond by living as if God has destined us to be favorites? Or will we respond by living as if God has destined us for something that's bigger than ourselves? God of love, you have created us out of love, and you destined us to be loved and to love. Your mind is already made up about each and every one of us, and the news is good. This news is so good that we need to respond by living transformed lives, lives that reflect the love you so freely give to us. By your Spirit, we are enabled to live such transformed lives, and for that we are grateful. Teach us not to fear what you have destined us for, but to celebrate that destiny. And when we feel that we have fallen short and that we haven't reflected our destiny the way that we should, teach us to show ourselves the same grace that you show us. All of this we pray through Christ and with Christ and in Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.